this morning. We're encouraged. We are very fortunate, very blessed to have missionaries like the Wallaces. I think we just take it. Sometimes we just assume, there's millions of missionaries. There are not millions of missionaries, and there's not a whole bunch of ones who really are rock solid, dedicated. There's folks out there, they have all kinds of different missions, but not of all missions according to the Word of God. But here's a man who wants to start churches and win souls and train. And you have to understand this. He started a church and he's turning it over to a national. The first guy saved in that church is now going to be the pastor of that church. That is an amazing testimony. It is. It's amazing. I don't know if it rings any bells in your head, but it rings some bells in my head. That is an amazing testimony. And that speaks of their faithfulness and of their diligence there and the Lord using them. And we are so blessed for the missionaries. We have 35 on that wall now that we get to support. And the Wallaces have been on that wall for a long time. And we're so glad that we have a part in that ministry. So we're going to turn the pulpit over to Brother Wallace. And he'll have the rest of the service. And we look forward to the Lord speaking to our hearts.
Thank you, Brother Wallace. Well, like I said this morning, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be with you folks. We're in Mexico City. Mary and I are about the only ones that speak any English, but we always think about our English friends back here in your church, and you folks just have no idea what you mean to us. When things get hard down there, which they do, just like they do any place, we have the confidence that there's people back here that care for us, that love us, that supporting us and praying for us, and you folks just have no idea the big part that you have in our life and ministry. But we do want to thank you. Thank you again for the nice hotel room last night and just for your prayer and support for us and the blessing and encouragement that you folks are to our life and our family and our ministry in Mexico City. My wife loves music. That's a language I don't speak. Amen. She loves music. She teaches the orphans there. She teaches the kids in our church, teaches adults, and she loves music. And she writes a lot of music, and she'll play a song for you this morning. Mary, I'll go ahead and let you come to the piano here. This is a song that she, one of the songs that she's written, and she'll probably do maybe a part of it in Spanish, just so you hear a little bit of Spanish. But she'll share with you about the importance of talking and sharing about Jesus Christ.
When you see in my life love and joy deep within, how my life has been changed and forgiven of my sin. For the wages of sin is death, has been swallowed in victory by the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I must tell you of Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice, Messiah, Redeemer, the great I am. Oh, I must tell you of the Holy Lamb. His love's higher than the stars, deeper than the deepest sea. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Prince of Peace, Alpha Omega, who was and is to come, Jehovah Jireh, God's only begotten Son. Oh, I must tell you of Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice, Messiah, Redeemer, the great I am. Oh, I must tell you of the Holy Lamb. His blood flowed down the rugged cross as he bore our iniquities. Beaten, despised, he bore our shame. the Holy Lamb of God, tied up on a tree, arose in 3 days, that we may have life eternally. Believe in you, I see, debo hablar de Cristo Jesús, Cordero Santo de Dios, el Redentor. Emmanuel Messias, yo gran yo soy, debo hablarte de Cristo Jesús. Oh, I must tell you of Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice, Messiah, Redeemer, the great I am. Oh, I must tell you of the Holy Lamb. Jesus is waiting. Believe, be saved. Oh, I must tell you of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's the blessing and the privilege that my wife and I have, and that is to tell people about Jesus Christ in Mexico City. But you folks have that same privilege here to share Christ with people. And that's what the world's looking for. Amen. They don't realize it, but the solution is not in the president. It's not in the government. It's not in the economy. It's not in doctors. It's not in medicine. The what people need most of all is Jesus Christ. And we have that privilege to share that with people today. I want to share with you something this morning in the Bible. And let me just first tell you just a bit more about Mexico City quickly. Just a little bit about the country of Mexico. People have a lot of questions, and I encourage you after church today, meet us at the table there, and be sure to take a prayer card with you. But also ask us any questions that you have specifically about our ministry in Mexico City or about Mexico in general. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. But, you know, Mexico City is an interesting place. The country of Mexico is pretty interesting. It's a poor place. It's a third world country. And yet there's a great value there in the country. Most people in our church, if they have a job, most people in Mexico earn about $5 a day. That's if they work 12 hours a day. At the end of the day, they'll earn about $5 a day. I mean, they're poor people, but there's a lot of value in Mexico. A lot of people don't realize that Mexico is the second runner in tourism in the world. They make $25 billion a year in tourism. There's a lot of pretty places in Mexico, but it's a poor place. They refine their own oil. They have oil and gold and silver. That makes it a very valuable place. Archaeological ruins, there's a lot of those there in Mexico City. You saw some in the presentation there, pyramids and Mayan temples and Aztec temples, things like that. There's a lot of scientists go there to Mexico City just to learn about these type of things and do excavations. And they just dug up, just outside the city last month, they dug up the largest collection assembled of mammoth bones in the world in Mexico City. I mean, scientists love that place. It's a very valuable place because of that. Sadly, it's a valuable place because of drugs. $500 billion a year is made in the drug cartel. Most of the presidents and governments involved with that. Any president that's ever survived his term as a president in Mexico automatically leave the country after their presidency is up, and they live off of what they've robbed off the people for the rest of their life. And it's sad, but drugs bring a lot of value to Mexico. But the greatest possession that there is in Mexico, the greatest value that there is in Mexico, are the souls. The souls. And that's a great value that we have here around us here today in the United States. I mean, there's so much value in a person's life. Jesus gave his life that people might be saved. And what a blessing that is. But it requires something of us. It requires something very basic and yet very important. And I want us to look this morning in the Bible, if you would, open your Bible to Luke chapter... open your Bible this morning. We'll look at a passage of Scripture in the Gospels in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you will. Open to John chapter 6, and I want to read for us here a few verses of Scripture, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And once you've found your place, if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word, and we'll read John chapter 6 and verse 1 through 14. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 1, says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and
A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, let nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the fish, of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again this morning for this church, Lord. I want to thank you for the blessing, Lord, it is for my wife and I to be a part of this church, to be an extension of their gospel outreach. But what a blessing it is for the members here to be a part of such a good church, Lord. I want to thank you for the pastor, for his wife, and for these dear people, Lord. And I want to thank you for the liberty that we still have in this country today, Lord, to preach the gospel. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us this morning, that you'd help us this morning, that you'd let us see, Lord, the importance of this ingredient that you require in our life, Lord, to be faithful as Christians, to be effective as Christians, Lord. And I pray you bless our word and bless your word, bless our time, Lord, and bless everybody that's here today. Help us leave today more like you because of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one thing that I still am finding out every day in my own life as a Christian is the importance of faith. The importance of faith. We talk about faith all the time. It's a simple, basic thing about the Christian life is our faith. And yet it is such an important matter in our life as missionaries. I just want to tell you, it's only by the grace of God that we're doing what we're doing. It's not because of anything else but God's grace and His help upon our life. And I have learned, and I am still learning, the need to place all of my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been in the ministry now for about 20 years. My wife and I, we were with the prison ministry, Rock of Ages, for about 9 years or so. And before that, we did some other things. We planted a church in Germany. We helped plant a church in the inner city here in the United States. And I have some experience in the gospel ministry, but I just want to tell you, it's not my experience. Amen. It's what God is doing and what God wants to do in our lives. And so this morning, I just want to share with you the importance of just a little faith produces a lot. A little faith produces a lot. This morning, it's not necessary missions that I'm talking about, but yet we can still apply this text here as it regards to missions. It's more about what God expects for our life in general. Faith that produces fruit. And so this morning, I just want to talk about that. Now, giving is part of our life, and I want to thank you again for giving to missions. I want to thank you for giving to our family, helping us. Giving is a part of our life, and it does require faith. And I'm so excited that your faith promise. I mean, every year I get this letter from your pastor saying God has done it again, and we're still involved and we're more involved. What a blessing it is for a missionary like us to hear of churches like you with faith, supporting missionaries by faith and supporting more by faith. What a blessing that is. But it's not just about our money. It's about our time and it's about our talents that we use these things by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you again. I want to just tell you, but there's a number of things that we can do, but just being faithful is so important for us. And so this morning I just want us to look at a few things to help us understand the importance of God using our life by faith. When I had graduated from college, I had my commission as an Army officer. I found myself overseas in Germany, and I had just began my work. What I'd given my life to was to be a soldier and to serve our country. And as a young Christian, early in this life in the military, God began to deal with me about being involved in the ministry. And I struggled with that so much because, I mean, I'd trained and I'd studied and I graduated and commissioned, all that kind of stuff. And yet God began to call me to serve Him. And I didn't quite understand it all. I don't understand everything, but I just know God was working in my life and wanted to use my life. And I just want to tell you that God wants to work in all of our lives and use all of our lives. Now, you don't have to surrender to be in the ministry full time for God to use you. I mean, but whatever you and I do for the Lord Jesus Christ requires faith. It's beyond our understanding and it's beyond our figuring it out. If you're waiting till you understand everything, if you're waiting till you figure it out, you'll never arrive to the point where God wants you to be a Christian. I'm just telling you this morning the importance of our life, of faith in our life. And God's done great things in my life and my wife's life. My wife grew up in a family. I love my in-laws, but she grew up in a family where they told her never ever go to Mexico, never ever go to Mexico. And so when I began to tell her that God was leading us to Mexico, she had a big hard time with that. I mean, it was hard. Her great grandfather was the commander at the Alamo, and of course, if you know your history, the Mexicans killed all the Americans. Amen. But he had courage. He had courage, and God began to work in my wife for a long time before we had this down. But my wife surrendered, and she said, "Mike, if that's what God wants for us, then by faith I'll do it." And I'm just telling you, but it's not just about going to a foreign field. I'm saying living for God requires faith, and so this morning I just want us to look at this and understand what had happened here in this text here. I love reading about the stories of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus and all that. But, my friend, we have to get down to the basis of these miracles and the basis of God using people's lives. And what we find here in this story is that there was a lot of people present that day. There was a lot of people there that witnessed what was going on and was a part of what's going on. And God wanted to use people back then. He wants to use people today. But out of all those people that were there in the story here where the multitude showed up to hear Jesus preach and then were left in a place in the need of food, there was many, many people there. And yet God chose to use one person that was willing to be used. And it was a young boy. And I'm just telling you this morning, I am not the qualified missionary. I keep thinking there's got to be somebody better to come down there and do this work in Mexico City. But I've surrendered my life by faith, and it's not because of me. It's my faith that God is using, and it's your faith that God is using. So this morning, I just want us to look at this story and be reminded of that God wants to use people. Now, God didn't need anybody at all in this story. God doesn't need anybody all today, but God has chosen to use us. But I just want to tell you this morning, it requires faith. I was just talking to your pastor briefly when I got here, and I asked him the question that's on everybody's heart and mind. It's for us as we travel. It's, well, Pastor, what's going on with the coronavirus here in Ohio? And you know, these are crazy times that we're living in. I'm not saying it's crazy because this virus is so real and rampant, though there's something going on, but I'm just telling you there's hysteria and there's panic and there's fear and there's doubt and there's talk of the economy and what. But can I just tell you that God is in control and God has handled things. You know, God's economy is just fine. Amen. God's not worried about how He's going to take care of you and your church. He's not worried about how He's going to take care of us in Mexico City. God's got things under control. But sometimes when we lose our focus on the one who is in control, we begin to get fearful and doubting and things like that. And I just want to tell you, my friend, whether it's the COVID, whether it's being a missionary, whatever it is, life to be successful as a Christian requires faith. It requires faith. And here in this story here, there was a great, great need there and many, many people there. And the question came up was, how are the people going to be taken care of? And out of all those people there, out of all those people that could have been used by God and participated in God's work there, it was only a young boy that took what little he had and God used it and blessed it. And I just want to tell you this morning, what little you are, what little you have is enough for God to make a great difference. And my friend, God is He's at work today. He's still at work. God's hand is still in America. I'm excited that you're praying for revival. I believe God's going to, I believe God can do something. I believe God will do something if we'll take it faithful by, take it serious by faith and ask God to do a great work again here in America. So I'm excited that you folks have the faith to pray for revival. But this morning I just want to look about this faith that we see in the Bible, this faith that we see in the story. And you know, it talks about a number of things here, but it doesn't tell the boy's name. It doesn't tell his age. It doesn't tell if he had brothers and sisters. It just says that he was here present when all this was going on. And can I just tell you this morning that God doesn't always have to reveal names, amen? God is not impressed with us. God's not impressed with what we think that we're accomplishing. God's impressed with what He's doing. Amen. And He doesn't need people's help, but He wants to use people. And what a blessing it is that my wife and I, by faith, we see God do a great work there. And you, by faith, see God do a great work here. But I'm just telling you, my friend, the basis of all this, the basis of our Christian life, whether it's missions or anything else, it requires faith. And so this morning, for a few minutes, I want us to look about the faith that we see in the story and ask God to help us to be faithful people. God, help us to trust Him and give Him the credit, amen, for what is being done and what will be done for His honor and glory. God's always looking for an opportunity to share and show Himself faithful, and He is faithful. He just wants us to be a part of it. But here in this passage of Scripture here, if you have your Bible still open, I want to look at a few things that is happening here in this passage of Scripture. In our text here, we see that the situation was overwhelming. It was a great situation here. It was a big problem. It appeared like at the time here, the disciples recognized the situation here. And look what it says in verse 5, John chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" I mean, the disciples were with Jesus, and what a blessing it had to be a disciple back in those Bible times and to be with Jesus and to see those things. Now, you and I experience it by faith as we read the Bible, but the disciples were firsthand, face-to-face with Jesus, and they got to see Him do all these things and experience all these things. But the disciples recognized the problem. There was a great multitude there. There was more people there that could be met with the needs that were present, and the disciples recognized that. Andrew and Philip, they recognized that, and Philip said, it says here, "And He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And so the disciples recognized the problem. You and I, we can do that too. I mean, all you got to do is sometimes look at your bank account and say, "How's this going to happen? Amen. How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to take care of things?" And sometimes it's so easy to recognize the problem, but we don't see the solution because we lack faith in our life. And I just want to encourage you, my friend, always trust the Lord. God is able. God is more than able. And my friend, what a blessing as you and I put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him do things that we can't explain. It's just a blessing. I can't explain Hope Baptist Church to you. I can't explain why God's taken a small town boy like me. I was born in a small town and I grew up in a small town, and I have no business being in the second largest city in the world. I really don't. Apart from the call of God and the grace of God and my faith in God. It's my faith in God, and it's your faith in God that accomplishes things in this world. And that's exactly what was going on here. The disciples had recognized the problem. And can I tell you that before you and I recognize the problem, Jesus is well aware of what's going on. The Bible says that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Now, I don't have as many today as I used to, amen? And some of you know what I'm talking about. But let me just tell you, God is in control. God knows all that what's going on. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." I mean, God is at work in the whole world. He's at work in Mexico City, but He's at work here. He's at work around the world, and He sees what's going on. It's not a surprise to God what's happening in the world today. God sees these things, and sometimes we're surprised by it, but we need to keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep trusting Him. And He knows what you're facing today. He knew about it before it even happened, and you can trust Him. It says here in John 6, verse 6, He Himself knew what He would do. I mean, when this thing all began to transpire, it wasn't just something that happened. It was God's plan. God had a plan behind this great assemblage and the great need to take care of the people. God knew that. I mean, it says that He knew what He would do. And friends, God already has the answer to the question before you could ask the question. I mean, we're living in uncertain times, and we have no idea really what's going to happen early next year in this country or in the world. We just really don't know. But can I just tell you, God is already there. Amen. God's already in our future, and God knows what's going on, and He wants you and I just to trust Him and to put our faith and confidence. I love reading stories in the Bible about like Abraham and Isaac when they went up to Mount Moriah there, and God was expecting a sacrifice. But you know what? God already had provision. God already had it ready, what He was going to do. And sometimes we don't understand, and we don't quite comprehend how this thing is going to turn out. But can I just tell you, God took care of Abraham and Isaac. God had it, it was ready and waiting when they got there. But God was looking to Abraham to see if he was going to trust Him. You know what? It required faith in Abraham's life. I love the story about Elijah. You know, Elijah, he was fed by the ravens and he was fed by the widow. But you know what? He didn't know that ahead of time. Amen. He was just serving the Lord and found himself in that situation of famine. And you know what? But God took care of him. And long before God took care of Elijah's need, God had the provision waiting. And can I just tell you this morning that God is going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. But he wants you and he wants me to trust him. He wants us to trust him. And so we see here the recognition of the situation, but we also see the request for faith. John 6:6 says, and he said unto them to prove them, for he knew what he would do. You know, as missionaries, my wife and I, we have to live by faith. I can't just run back to the United States when we have a problem. I can't just, we have to live by faith. And it's a blessing for us to live by faith because we see God's faithfulness. But you are required or expected by God to live by faith too. I mean, you don't have to be a missionary to live by faith. I mean, there's difficulty and there's trials. And sometimes when we realize that God wants to use us more in His service, I mean, it requires faith. And if you would be just like this young man, this young boy, and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know that I could really be a part of it, but here I am. Use me. If we would come to that point in our life where we say, God, here I am. Use me. I believe you, Lord. I believe that you can help. I believe that you can use me. If we would surrender ourselves and come to that point, we would see that Jesus was asking to see how the disciples would respond. Romans 1:17 says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know how we're going to live to please God? Living a life of faith in him. That's what pleases him. It's not being real intelligent. It's not having a big business. So there's nothing wrong with those things. But what pleases God and what impresses God is when you and I surrender our life and we trust Him totally with our life. And I tell you, I believe that's why God allowed this coronavirus. I believe whatever it is, I'm not sure what exists. It's not quite what the media makes it out to be. There's something that's happening. But I believe this was another opportunity that God has given us to put our faith and trust in Him. But you know what's happened? Most of the world has put their faith and trust in the government. And that's not the solution. Back in 9/11, when the towers fell, that was another opportunity that America had to turn to God. And I think America did for a short time. But then you know what happened? They turned back to the government, turned back to the world. And I'm just telling you, things that come in our life, just like what happened here in this story, was things that God had orchestrated to prove Himself and to prove the hearts of the people. And my friend, I just want to tell you, I don't know what you're going through right now. And again, this is not all necessarily about missions, but it's about realizing that God is at work in our life and God wants us to have faith in Him. God wants us to put our confidence and our hope in Him. And if we would do that, we'll please Him. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And my friend, God wants to see that we're real, that we're sincere by the way we live our lives. And when you come to church, regardless of what the rest of the world is doing, that's an act of faith. When you give by faith to missions, that's an act of faith. When you go out and you leave your house and you say, God, use my life today to make a difference for the gospel's sake, that's a matter of faith. And my friend, that's the only way that you and I are going to please God. And that's the only record that we have here in this story. It was one young man that used what little he had and God blessed it. And so that's what it's about. It's about faith. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. My friend, when you and I figure things out by ourselves, and when we figure out how we're going to take care of our household and how we're going to build a bigger house and how we're going to afford a new car, and we got this thing all figured out, my friend, that's not faith. That's sin. But when we trust God and God provides, when we trust God and God blesses us, then that's faith. And God gets the honor and glory. But my friend, we have to live by faith. We have to trust the Lord. And as we do that, it pleases Him. It was a recognition of the situation, and it was a request by faith of Jesus in this passage of Scripture. And verse 7 shows the response of our flesh oftentimes. In verse 7, John chapter 6, verse 7, it says, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them take a little. Philip's response right here was the natural response. Well, God, this is what we have. Lord, this is what we have present with us, but it's not enough. And oftentimes our tendency, if we're not careful, if we're not trusting the Lord, our tendency to respond to problems in our life is in the flesh. We look at it and we say it's not possible. We say I can't do it, or we say we can't do it, or it's never been done this way before. And I mean, we got lots of excuses why we don't see God at work. And let me just tell you again personally, I shared in the Sunday school hour this morning. I just realized that God wants to use my life as an instrument. It's not because of me. It's not because of any of my experience, it's because that I am a child of God and He wants to use me. But my friend, you are children of God if you're saved here today and God wants to use your life. That's what, all it's about. It's about responding properly to this. Now, look what it says here in verse 5. Jesus asked the question here, basically asking how this is going to be handled. He says, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these might eat? He asked, you know, and that's what God asks us sometimes when we have a problem. God just kind of wants to see what we're thinking and what our heart is about a matter. And so He asked His disciples, now look, this is what's going on. What are we going to do? And you know what? Oftentimes there's various ways that we respond to things. Now, one of the ways they respond in another gospel here is they said, basically, get rid of the problem. Look what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 36. It's the same story, but it's just in a different gospel here in Mark chapter 6. In verse 36, it says here exactly what they were thinking. It says here exactly what their answer was to this issue that came up here when Jesus asked them here. He says here in Mark chapter 6, verse 36, it says, this was the answer of the disciples. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread. That they have, for they have nothing to eat. And so the solution here was get rid of the problem. Amen. So a lot of times the way we solve problems spiritually is not a very spiritual matter. We say, well, just get rid of it. Just close our eyes. Just kind of cover it up. Just kind of hope it goes away. But that's not the way we should respond as Christians. It's not getting rid of the problem. It's addressing the problem by faith. And my friend, Mexico City has a great, great need. I just 1,000 more people every day. I just say, God, what can we do? But we're there by faith. And when you see your city growing or your problem growing or whatever your need is growing, my friend, the solution is not cover it up. It's not to hide it. It's not to turn your head or close your eyes. No, the solution is to address it head on by faith and say, God, I believe You. I don't understand it. I don't see the solution. I don't see enough money in my bank account. I don't see enough in my own personal life. I don't see enough ability that I have. I don't see enough capability. But God, I believe You. I trust You. And as we come to that point and not ignore the problem, but address it by faith, God will help us. And that's exactly what we find later on. But I tell you, one of the solutions that we have a response is when we're asked by God, what are we going to do? We just say, well, let's just get rid of the problem. That's not the solution. Another answer is, turn back to your text there, John 6, verse 7. Another solution sometimes is to raise more money. Amen. Raise more money. Philip answered, said to him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Peter said that basically, you know, it can be taken care of, but not with what we have. Philip said, you know what? We just need some more money. And a lot of times we think the solution for our issues in life is more money. Or more capability, or more resources, or more talent, or more ability, or more people. And a lot of times we want more, and we think that's the answer. That's not the answer. But that was one of the responses here, raise more money. Another response was just to admit the fact that there was not enough. Look what verse 5 says. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip knew that what they had was not physically enough to take care of that need there. And my friend, a lot of times we just say it can't be done because what's needed is not present. But you know what the answer was? You know what the best solution is always? Is let Jesus have it. Let Jesus have it. Look what it says in verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And so the solution here is let Jesus handle it. My friend, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you think your lack of ability is. Well, I'd love to be a soul winner, but I'm shy, and I'm timid, and I'd like to serve in the church, but I'm smart enough. Right? We have so many reasons why we can't. But you know what the solution is? It's just to give it to Jesus. My friend, they took what they had and they said, we can't figure it out, but we think You can. And you know what? He always does. But He wants us to believe Him by faith. He wants us to trust Him and to respond by faith. And my friend, let me just encourage you. One thing that's helped me in Mexico, one thing that helps as a missionary, is to not listen to myself. I can figure out so many reasons why this won't work. I amaze myself how sometimes I forget the Bible. And my friend, that's our greatest enemy. It's when we come to the point where we discourage ourselves. I mean, we need to encourage ourselves, Lord. We need to encourage ourselves that, my friend, God has always been. You know, God created the whole world just by speaking it. He doesn't need your or my help, but He wants to use us. And my friend, but our flesh is our worst enemy. Our mind is our worst enemy. And if that's not enough, my friend, if our self is not enough of the problem, you know what another problem is? It's our friends and neighbors and our coworkers and sometimes our own Christian family and friends. My friend, if you can't discourage yourself, just ask brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They'll discourage you, amen. They'll say, it's not possible. This is not going to work. I mean, and that's exactly, but you know what the solution, the answer was to give it to Jesus and He took care of it. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And so the blessing here is to realize no matter what our situation is, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what we lack or how unable we are personally, that it's okay. God's got it under control. All things are going to be okay, my friend, if we'll trust the Lord. If we'll trust the Lord. I'm thinking about starting our next church here in Mexico. Actually, we'll try to start two churches this next term. And I already have God's laid upon my heart 7 different areas in our area, about an hour away each one. And so I'm hoping that we'll, just ramp it up there and do more and more. But it's not because of me. It's because I believe that's God's will that people be saved in Mexico City. And my friend, if you would just take that same desire, that same faith, and put it in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever your issue is, whatever your lack is, whatever you, sometimes you want to be involved in the church more, and you hear your pastor say, hey, you can do it, trust the Lord. But my friend, sometimes it's just a lack of faith that prevents us from seeing God do great things. I just want to encourage you, my friend, the solution here is just to give it to Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, when we face things that are impossible in our life, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My friend, if you would just give it to God, whatever your issue is, well, pastor needs more help at church, but I can't. But God, I believe you will. I believe you can use me. I want to give more to missions, but it's not in my bank account. But I want to. I mean, it's just a matter of faith. Living the Christian life is a matter of faith. And my friend, if we would just cast our care upon Him and trust Him, the Bible says that He'll give us peace and He'll help us. So that was what we find here starting off. It was a situation that was overwhelming. But also, we do understand that the supplies were insufficient. The supplies were insufficient here. Look at the size of the gift here in verse 9. The size of the gift in verse 9. It says here in John 6, verse 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So the size of the gift wasn't much. It was just basically 5 tortillas and 2 pieces of pork came in and a little salsa. No, that's not, I mean, okay, maybe here in English it's sausage biscuits or whatever. Cool. But it was basically just 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish. I mean, it wasn't very much at all. And yet, you know what? I am reminded just from the Bible that God uses little things to do great works. I think about that rod of Moses. I mean, just a little stick. And boy, what God accomplished through Moses' life with just a rod. What about David and that just a one little stone that David took and he defeated Goliath the giant, just a little stone. You know what? You say sometimes we say, well, I can't do it. I'm just so inept. I'm so inadequate. And that's true. But you know what? The solution is not in ourselves. It's just in being used by God. This young boy just had just a little, and it was just a small thing that he had to offer. And my friend, but by faith, he did that, and God blessed him. And as Moses, by faith, took that rod, as David, by faith, took that rock, and many, many stories in the Bible we could look at about God using little things. I just want to tell you, my friend, this morning, God usually doesn't use rich people. I mean, He does sometimes. God doesn't oftentimes use very intelligent people, though He does sometimes. What God is looking for is to glorify Himself, and the best way that He can do that is taking something small and using that. My friend, I just want to encourage you today. That's what happened in the story. This young boy just took his gift, the small thing that he had, and God blessed it and used that for great glory and honor. But look what it says in John 6, verse 11. The great thing that happened here is it says here in John chapter 6, verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. And Jesus took the loaves. Think about that. This little boy presented what he had, and God took it. If you would present your problem, if you'd present yourself, if you'd present whatever it is, and you give that to God, you know what He'll do? He'll take it. And He'll use it. But it requires faith to present yourself. It requires faith to admit your inadequacy. It admires faith to admit that you're not capable or you don't have enough. And that's what happened. It was just presented to Him, just that small amount, and Jesus took it. And Jesus took it. Think about that. And Jesus took it. You know what? Whatever it is in your life, if you would just say, God, I can't, but I believe You. Here it is. And if you would do that, God would take that. And then what happens later is amazing. The size of the gift, and we see the sacrifice of the giver. Just that little bit was given. And you know what? Oftentimes we kind of think here a little bit about, we're talking about possessions or money, but that's not it. It's our time. It's our talent. If you would just take what little time, you say, I'd love to make more of a difference in my area, but all I can do is maybe come to visitation. My friend, that's, just take that time and commit it to God. Say, God, I wish I had more time. I wish I was full-time in the ministry, but I'm not. But I want to be faithful to my church. I want to be faithful to the outreaches and the visitation and the door knocking. God, here's my hour, 2 hours this week. Here's my... But if you'll just take that, and by faith, you give yourself trusting God and asking God to use you, He'll do that. That's exactly what it's talking about here. Giving what we have, and it's a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. God wants us to sacrifice. God gave His life. God gave His Son. Jesus sacrificed His life. And He's not asking that we would do that. He's just asking whatever it is that we have that we give. He just wants what we have. And my friend, if you would surrender, if you'd take what you have and give it to Him, it says here that He took it, and we see what happened later on. But it's a blessing that God wants to use us, and He can use us. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 25. Hold your place here in our text. And John, hold your place. Let's just go quickly to Matthew chapter 25 and look at this parable. And we've read this before, and I just want you to see it one more time. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14, the Bible says here, Matthew 25, 14, and the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And it says here in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that had 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. My friend, the greatest error that you and I can make is take what little we have and do nothing with it. Take what little we have and don't think it really matters to God. Take what little we have and don't think God can use it. That's, my friend, you don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to be a great missionary. You don't have to be a great Christian. You just need to take what you have and by faith say, God, it's not much, but here I am. Use my life. And if you would do that, my friend, if you would surrender yourself, if you'd give yourself, if you would sacrifice yourself and give yourself back to God, God will do miracles. Using you, not because of you, but because of Him. He doesn't need us. He just wants to use us. And that's what happened here in the story. We see that. But we see the size of the gift wasn't much. The sacrifice of what seemed to be a lot. But look at the stain of the doubt that happened here. Verse 9. John 6, verse 9. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, that's where we lose the battle oftentimes as we reason things out. We're so used to living in this flesh that this flesh becomes our problem. And we can't understand and we can't reason it out. And that's what they said here. They said, God, now it's not that there's nothing here. Lord, it's not that we don't have anything. It's just what we have is not very much. And sometimes, my friend, we're our worst enemy. We look what the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. We don't believe His promises. We don't believe the Word. That's our problem. That's where we lose the battle. John 15, verse 16 says... John 15, 16, it says here, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Our problem is, as we know the Bible, we hear the Bible and we read the Bible and we study the Bible, but it says here that His expectation is that He's chosen us. and that He expects for us to bring forth fruit. He expects what you and I have or who you and I are to produce something, but sometimes because of our situation, we can't figure it out and we lose the battle, we forget the promises, and yet His expectation is we don't doubt Him but believe Him. That was the problem with the disciples. They doubted what they had was not enough. But look at how this turned out in verse 10. John chapter 6 and verse 10, turn back to your text there. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, it says here, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to His disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And so here we see because of the blessing of God, because of the faith of the person that had that young boy, we see here that there was now a surplus. What a blessing is that. At first it didn't appear like there was enough, and yet the end result here is that there was a surplus. What a blessing. You know what God does to help us a lot of times is He uses us doubters, amen, to do the work. I mean, the disciples didn't believe it was going to happen, didn't believe it was enough, and yet God wanted to teach them a lesson and said, "Now listen, go pick up the leftovers." And you know what? 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? 12 disciples. One basket for every doubting disciple. And I'm just saying, God wants to get our attention and say, "Listen, it's going to be okay. Listen, I have more than enough to take care of the problem. Though you don't understand it, though you can't figure it out, though you can't see it with your physical eye, there's more than enough here. And if you'll just trust me, I'll do it." And when we don't trust Him, He uses us anyway. He says, "Go pick up the fragments there. Each of you disciples, take your basket, fill it full." And that's what happened there. And you know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. God owns it all. My friend, you know what? Let me just help you for just a second. If you want to understand what belongs to you, my friend, just close your eyes. Everything you see with your eyes closed, that's all yours. Amen. Have at it. But when you open your eyes, my friend, everything that you and I see with our eyes open belongs to God. That car that you call your car and I call my car that we drove to church in, that's not our car. That's God's car. He just lent it to us. That house that you and I live in that we call our house is not our house. That's God's house. God owns everything, and God is more than able, but He wants to see our faith. He wants to see our response to when we come to situations where we can't understand it, can't explain it. When God says, "I want you to do more for me," and we feel so inadequate, God is expecting for us to put our faith in Him, trust Him, let Him use us anyway. And that's what happened here. There was more than enough. There was more. Look what it says in John chapter 6. Let's just turn back to our text there. John chapter 6, verse 10. "And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place that the men sat down, and number about 5,000. 5,000 men, but you know what? If we understand that they brought their family, they brought their children, their wife, I'm sure 20,000 people there were taken care of because of God and the faith of one young boy. And I just want to tell you, my friend, there's nothing that God's not able to do. There's nothing that God's not capable of doing. God sees every problem as an ability to grow our faith. It's just He wants us to see it that same way. And so, my friend, problems are a good thing. I mean, we live in danger in Mexico City. We live in difficult situations, problems all the time. But all that has helped me to grow closer to God and to trust Him more. And my friend, whatever it is that's happening in your life, or whatever it is God expects of your life, and you feel so inadequate, if you would just trust Him and give what you have, give your life, God will help you, and He'll do great things. But we also see here that they were encouraged here. Look what it says here. It says that they sat down and they all were taken care of, and God did this to teach them who was in control. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, face to face. Now in part, but then shall I know, even as I am also known." It's a matter of faith. We can't see clearly. We can't put all the figures together. We can't put all we can't figure it all out, my friend. But that's why it's by faith. I'm just telling you, my friend. God expects us to live by faith. He wants us to live by faith. And God satisfies and takes care of things when we have faith. It says here that they were fed, and of course their families were fed. Ephesians verse 3, verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God is able, my friend. More than you can even understand, God is able. But He just wants us to believe Him by faith. to give our lives, to give what we have, to surrender ourselves to Him. And if we'll do that, my friend, just like He did for the disciples, just like He did for the multitudes, just like He did in the life of this young boy, He'll do for you and I. And it will surprise us, or it will be surprised by what God can do. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "For it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." My friend, we can't see it. We just can't see it. But God sees it, and God has a plan. And His plan involves us in our insufficiency and our lack. God plans to use us and wants to use us. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, the thing is that, you know, if there, as long as there's a great God sitting on the throne, there's a way. You say, "Brother Mike, I just don't see the answer. I just don't see the solution. There's a way." You know what Jesus said? "I am the way. He is the way." And my friend, it's going to be okay. Whatever God wants to do in your life, whatever God's trying to do in your life, however God's wanting to use your life, in spite of what your bank says, in spite of what your education says, in spite of what your experience says, my friend, God is able. He's able, but He wants to see you take what you have, take yourself, and say, "God, I believe. Here's my life. Use what I have. Use the little that I have." And if we would have that type of faith, God will help us. And I'm excited about what God's going to do in Mexico City as we go back. I mean, I'm expecting greater things, but I'm sure God's expectations is far above mine. But it's a matter of faith. We believe that God wants to do a great work there. I believe God wants to do a great work here. But my friend, don't doubt. Trust God. Give yourself. Give what you have by faith. And God will help you and God will bless you. And you'll be surprised. God took care of all the needs there, and we have the record of His faithfulness. And He wants to have that record in your life. He wants to prove Himself over and over again to you because He's able. He's more than able. But oftentimes the problem is us ourselves. Let me just share with you as I close this morning. If you're here today and you're not saved or not sure that you're saved, boy, that's where it all begins. It begins by trusting Christ as your Savior. Not figuring out how this thing works and how the Bible's true and how everything. It's not about figuring any of that out. It's about trusting the record that Jesus died in your place. It's about trusting the record that God gave His life through His Son. Jesus died to pay for our sins. And my friend, if you want to experience what life is all about, trust Christ as your Savior. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him and be saved, my friend. And that'll be the beginning of the best life that you could ever have being a Christian. But if you're here today and you're a Christian, my friend, the best life that you can live as a Christian is a life of faith. Learning to trust God in spite of not being able to figure it out, in spite of being inadequate yourself. Trust God and give your life to Him and surrender whatever it is that you have. Just offer it to Him, and my friend, He'll bless it. And He'll use it, and you'll be encouraged, and so many others will be helped if you'll live the life of faith according to the Bible. Let's do this. We'll close in a word of prayer, and I'll turn it back over to your pastor.